Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Thank you for joining us here for another episode of An Earful in the Emerald City. We appreciate you guys being here. Episode number 58, guys. We're still at it. Only a couple weeks away from Christmas, you guys. And we actually got a little snow here recently, so it's feeling festive like a motherfucker right now. So alongside me here is my cohort here, my hetero life partner, yep. Mr. Marcus Netters.
Still here. Alive.
He's still alive, just barely. But
yeah, that snow happened. I almost thought it was a black popsicle.
Oh my god! Well, he almost died on the way over here too from poop poisoning.
Oh, that's man! You made me go to. I was in line with a homeless guy and another guy who wanted to change his pants in a stall, and then a guy had his baby up on like the urinal to help him pee. And then the other guy kept asking his son, does he want to poop or pee? And I was like, you're not supposed to give him fucking options. You just take him into the stall because he's going to drop his pants. God, I got so pissed. And then it was like pubic hair on the toilet. I hate that you made me do that. Jesus. I had to go to a public restroom.
My bad. But yeah, so we're here. And we also have a very special guest for you guys today, actually. We have a local comedian, a very funny local comedian joining us.
Louisiana.
He is. He came a long way to be here. Not just for the show, but you know, we're gonna take some of that credit for it anyway. But good guy, and probably one of the best beards in the comedy game right now, to be honest.
Easily.
You know? I mean, you gotta give credit where it's due. Mr. Laith Sehan is joining us, you guys, for the podcast.
Hello.
Thanks for being here, man.
Woo! Thanks for having me. I'm humbled.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you. I gotta
I'm
say
nerves now.
No, you're fine.
I gotta say, Laith, the trajectory of our friendship has pretty much gone parabolic at this point, you know? I mean, we started talking maybe 5-6 weeks ago, and here we are having shots, drinking beers, and you're joining us for the
besties
podcast.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be there sooner than later, you know? I mean, if this thing keeps up, so that's good, and Lord knows I need all the friends I can get at this point. Yeah, but we got a good one here planned for you guys.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us, man, and, you know, kind of let's run through real quick and, you know, give me a little bit of your backstory because, you know, again, we've only been best friends for a couple of weeks now, so I don't know a ton about you, but you have quite the story and again, you've come up here from, was it Louisiana you were born originally?
Well,
is it Baton Rouge?
No.
Is it
no,
Boston?
Actually, no to both. No,
all right, I guess we're not best friends.
No.
Everything's wrong.
I was born in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay.
Which is not a place that registers on like many people's maps.
Is
like,
it actually a fort?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like it's like
what military branch?
Yeah, the military has something to do with that name and there's actually a military base there, Fort Chaffee, which is interesting because Elvis Presley was stationed there when he was in the military.
Aha.
That's his claim to fame.
Music.
My aunt, she still lives there, and she has a photograph of Elvis Presley and his tidy whities getting, I don't know, his measurements taken or something by the army.
Yeah,
and she has it in a frame, and it's like a big deal.
Really? So she was there and she took the photo?
No, she just
It's just a relic.
So are you in like
I think somebody close to my mom's family like took the photo. It might have been my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think he took the photo, but like he got like maybe it's signed. I don't know. Like it's just a special photo.
It's an heirloom now.
Yeah.
I think Elvis signed it. I guess that's why she has it framed.
Mm.
But I feel like that there's more to the story than I know.
Yeah, you should get on that will.
Hmm. Who do you think is more crazy? Do you think Elvis is more crazy or Justin Bieber?
You mean at the end of his life or at his heyday?
I think,
the peak.
Elvis, right? Like, if he was a modern celebrity, he would just be fucking batshit.
His tweets would be amazing.
Right? Like, he put on, like, 100 pounds before he died.
Yeah.
He ate like a very specific kind of peanut butter sandwich.
To the point where it's now on like some sandwich shop's menus. We're like, yeah, it's just the Elvis right there. Just named it after him. We're like, yeah, peanut butter. I love that sandwich though.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, but that's the kind, like, he would have been like Instagramming his fucking sandwich.
Yes, he most definitely would have.
It would have just been like 500 photos of like his sandwich on his Instagram profile.
I'm gonna eat today now, baby.
That's what, like, we just didn't get to see his craziness in full bloom because the internet hadn't arrived, you know?
That's true. It was probably a lot easier back then to keep somewhat of a private and under wrap, you know, kind of existence back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's not
because, like, Bieber, like, he's kind of chilling out, right? Like, he's like kind of finding his plateau. Like, he's giving back to his community more. He's, you know, he's making an effort to get along with his friend, you know, get along with the people around him. Like, yeah. He's chilling out.
Seems like he's figuring it out a little bit. I'll give the guy credit, but
very Canadian.
But it's just tough though. I think if anybody becomes that famous, I think it fucks with your head, you know, and you just start to become nutty. I mean, it's not even your fault. It's like being a super hot chick, you know. It's like you can't control how other people treat you. You know, you can kind of have a factor in it, but you can't control that. And if everybody's walking around kissing you, telling you how amazing you are all the time, like, you're going to start thinking, yeah, these guys are right. I am fucking amazing. You know, now that they said that, I am the fucking shit. And I think it's just one of those things that comes along with being that famous.
I agree. But unless you're a narcissist, a part of your brain has got to react and tell you, like, this is bullshit. I'm not this great. There's no way that, like, the things they're saying about me are true, you know? And that goes, like, for the good and the bad, I guess.
I think it depends on how many commas you get.
So anyway, back to me.
Yeah.
Speaking of narcissists.
Do you guys want me to go on?
No, we were fine. I was just, the only thing I could think of was about the Justin Timberlake. Bieber thing was, he's just Canadian. Yeah. Also, not my champion. Screw the Sounders. All right, continue.
I just feel like if we're going to talk about Justin Bieber, we might as well talk about me. You know, like, if we can talk about him.
You guys kind of look alike a little bit.
The exact opposite.
Well, Black Bieber was a great episode of Atlanta.
So you're born in Arkansas.
I was born in Arkansas to a Middle Eastern father.
Mm-hmm.
And a white mother.
Okay. Interesting
in my stand up act, I make a joke and I call my mom white trash. It's not too far from the truth. Like, she didn't grow up in a trailer park, but she grew up in like rural Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was like an alcoholic, you know, like he was like in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulled a scam with the military where he pretended to have schizophrenia to get honorably discharged, right, so that he could receive a pension the rest of his life.
Yep. Really?
Yeah. And he, so he gets like prescribed like schizo medication, but he doesn't take it. And he, I guess he's like a performer or something. Like, he's got, you know, a little bit of the performer in him. I guess that's where I get it from, because he would have to go and get checkups with like a psychiatrist who would, like, you know, confirm his, you know, his progress. Like, I guess,
how's your brain doing there?
Because they're treating him for schizophrenia, you know. So he would go in and he would have to do what's called the lithium shuffle, because they used to treat schizophrenia with lithium.
That's a band.
Is that that new dance move
that's
that
a band
the
band
kids are doing?
Yeah. So like my, you know, 65-year-old grandfather, honestly, like, his whole adult life he's been lying to the government. But he would go back to the psychiatrist and he would imitate the lithium shuffle and, you know, convince her that he had schizophrenia, even though he wasn't taking lithium and he certainly doesn't have schizophrenia.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some upper level fraud there.
It's upper level fraud.
Jesus.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, you got to fully commit to that shit.
And God, he's, you know, for decades, he's committed. And I guess decades. I just kind of blew his cover on this podcast.
I mean,
the government's going to be knocking on his door tomorrow.
I mean, I'm assuming he's fine. I mean, that's a good... It's a good
catch. I mean, that's not to say that, like, weird schizoid shit doesn't run in my family. Like, right. My uncle, when he was in high school, my uncle Doug, he used to huff gas.
So is he the Doug
He used to huff gas, and he was really into metal.
Mm.
And he and his best friend would piss on Bibles.
Oh,
that
man.
That was, like, their thing. They'd huff gas and then pee on the Bible.
Well, you know, back then gas was pretty cheap. So, you know, if you got to get high, I mean, that was the way to go. It's 25, 50 cents a gallon probably.
The habit's way too expensive these days.
Yeah, exactly.
I tried to get into it, but it's I can't afford
it. No, especially if you want to go premium, you know, 92 octane. It's too much. Pissing on Bibles, though. God damn, that's...
Yeah, and he kept, like, bottles of piss in his bedroom and stuff like that.
Again, God, sell it.
Which I don't understand. Like, I've always wondered why people do that. Like, sell why it. People, like, pee in bottles. And then, so that was my uncle. He did that.
Yeah.
And then I never forgot that. Like, that was just one of those things that stayed with me. Because I was like, that's my family. Like, there's genes right. for that in me, you know?
We're similar in some ways.
Yeah, like, I could maybe, like, I'll lose my shit one day. So, I was like drinking with some friends one night and I brought it up and my, one of my best friends lives up here and it turns out that he had done the same thing during a really bad breakup. He like lost his mind. He tried to kill himself, but like before he literally like he stabbed himself in the heart.
Oh jeez.
And you know, he didn't die, but that was his attempt. And like in the weeks, months leading up to that, he had been pissing in bottles and saving it in his closet. This is getting dark. And I was like, so I was talking to him and I was like, why did you do that? Like, what was your reasoning behind it? You know? And he said, I was trying to save it from the bad people. That was all he said. That was his sentence. I was trying to just save it from the bad people.
I mean, I don't like bankers either.
I don't know what he meant by bad people. Who work at the waters.
Bankers are always the bad.
Bankers are coming from my urine.
Yeah, they invest it. They'll water the crops. They'll be like, it's got electrolytes in it. You know, I don't know.
Wow, that's some intense shit there.
So I don't, yeah.
That's got to make you wonder as you start to slowly get older here. Bible urination in your future here too?
When is the mental break?
I mean, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not faithful much, but I'd like to at least leave the option to maybe go to heaven in case it does exist. And I think pissing on a Bible pretty much gets you barred, you know?
It seems so boring to go to heaven, man.
That's like you taking a piss at the bar. Like, you're out of here, man. You're done. It's over.
So that cool uncle, he still lives in Arkansas. I think he lives in a trailer in my grandmother's front yard, which is funny because she lives in a trailer.
So they're two trailers, but they're not double wide.
They're starting their own trailer park. There's the main trailer, and then
Does it take to make a trailer park?
They're at two right now.
Is it not three?
I think you got to have at least three.
Yeah, I think they need at least three.
Yeah, you need three. So right now they are just in a relationship.
They're in a trailer duo.
Yeah.
Partnership. I have a lot of stories about my Uncle Doug. Like he actually might be a schizophrenic. He should be the one on lithium.
Is that the person that your grandpa, is that who he, like, he watched him and was like, all right, I figured out how to do this whole thing every time.
My mom's really religious.
Oh.
And she, and like her way of describing it, my mom's really like this crazy Christian lady, but that didn't happen until later. Anyway,
yeah.
Her way of describing the whole situation is the sins of the father are enacted upon the son. Do you know what I mean? Like he pretended to have schizophrenia. Yeah. So God punished him by giving him his son schizophrenia. Yeah.
Yep. Mm. That's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
That's beautiful. That makes sense to me.
I personally think it's bullshit.
I mean, yeah.
I don't think that's true at all, but it is like, it's a poetic sentiment and like, you know, like
act like a nut, you get a nut.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's karma, you know, it's karma.
Super karmic. That's funny. Yeah. Crap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's funny.
That's kind of my relationship with my mom. Like she pisses me off, but then like occasionally she'll come through with a gem.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right.
The little diamond in the rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe our moms are the same person.
They're probably pretty similar.
They at least were friends. My mom was born in Mississippi, but I don't know if she was ever in Arkansas. They might have stopped there for a minute.
There's not much in Arkansas.
I do know that they are they still the lowest GDP? Like they have like a Arkansas's having issues. I know that
they're down there.
Yeah. I know they had like issues as far as that goes. But I mean, you know, they still have like the Clintons.
Yeah, I'm sure they're spreading a lot of money around the community down there.
Oh, they got the Waltons. They got the Waltons, right?
No, I've driven through Arkansas actually, and there's you're right. There's not really a lot from what I saw,
guys.
But it is a.
No, I know what you're saying, but it's like I'm like when you said they still have the Clintons. I'm like, they live in New York. The Waltons, what do you mean, Walmart? Like, they give very little back to the community. They give very little to their employees. Like, I mean, the thing about Arkansas is I didn't grow up there, and I don't know a lot about it.
But when you go back.
But when I go, I haven't been back in a long time.
Smart.
The times I went back, I was like, this is just backroad shit. Like, it's just a really rural southern state. Like, it's not as bad as people say it is.
Right.
You know, but it's at the same time, it's like, it is kind of shitty, and I wouldn't want to live there. You know?
And that bugs me only because, as far as... God, man, I feel really bad about red states.
I feel like that's how the Clintons and the Waltons feel. They're like,
Yeah, I don't want to live there. I'm from there, but they won't claim it. Man, it bugs me because I keep wanting to give the red states credit. Like, I want to be like, come on, guys, you can, like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get up here with us, like, the people who... But you know, they just won't. I got into an argument on our Twitter account. I've been interacting a lot of... there was a Montana thing where I got into a large discussion about Montana. And they were like, no, it's just a bunch of people here who... We would never go automated anything. We just won't do that. We just won't. And I'm like... Why? Why wouldn't you let something automate? It's like, we're good, down-to-earth people.
To Montana's credit, so that's where Richard Spencer lives.
Yep.
Richard Spencer's that alt-right guy.
Yep. That's where Glenn Beck moved to, I think.
And from that article I read, that we all read,
yeah,
about like that expose on Richard Spencer, yep, they treat him like shit.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Well, I mean, like, Montana has a lot of Native American people there. They're not, like, completely, like, they're 89% white.
Hmm.
Like, I learned that much because I was, like, I had gotten into a stupid argument with her, and she was, like, no, I'm in a town where it's, like, we're the minority and we're white. And I was, like, what town are you in? I looked at him and was, like, you're lying. But long story short, I was, like, yeah, but, I mean, there are states like that where they're just, like, they are stuck at, like, we were basically getting an argument about, she was saying if America came in there and took their guns, or the military, or, you know, the government came, we'd fight them. She kept saying they. She was like, we'd fight them because we have a bunch of military stuff. And I was like, they don't want your hunting rifles. You know, like, she was getting all staunch. And I was like, but that's how, and I have family in Missouri where I have a lot of black family members.
See, Missouri is like Arkansas. Like,
I know.
It's the same fucking thing.
I know. And that's why I have.
It's the Midwest, quote unquote, but it's
the
Arkansas
South.
is the Midwest,
South.
Too.
Like, yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
It's the South. They, as much as they're like, we're not them, but we're them.
Yeah.
And, but the problem is that when you're trying to break through in conversation with them, like you're saying, you got the family members where you're like, why are you living here? Not here in this place, but like, Google put Google Fiber there, and every time I mentioned Google Fiber, they were like, we don't want that because they dug up one time and we lost power and they never apologized, so we don't want to have the internet here. And I was like, that's your reason? You held a grudge against the company because these...
They're
South.
Yeah, they're idiots, right? Like, it's like everybody in the South is like
staunch.
They make you want to fucking die.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm from there, and it's like, I know a lot of cool-ass people.
People.
You know, and I'm like, and sometimes I go back, and I'm like, I fucking love it here. But mostly, I'm just like, I fucking hate everybody.
I think the thing is
it's
I think they're not, yeah. I think as far as intelligence goes, I think they might be a little bit lacking down there. But I think the people in general, a lot of them have good hearts, though. You know, they're
genuine.
Yeah, they're just good people. But I don't know. It's kind of a tough one. I just want to say this because I can't get over this because I was surprised when I saw it. You guys brought up Montana. A little known fact about Montana: first woman ever voted to the Senate
was from there.
Was in Montana.
They're not backwoods. That's
I mean,
what we're saying.
Who would guess that? You know, if you said, hey, what state do you think the first woman senator came from? That would be probably the 46th pick.
Very pleased with Montana.
If you had it, you know.
No, nothing's wrong with that's what I was saying. Nothing's wrong with any place who's like predominantly red. It's just that a lot of people, when you go there, you're like, I can see how you can be influenced by.
No, and it's kind of like this argument where the Pacific Northwest is very liberal, but it's very white.
Yes.
Right. But and so it. Right.
As a black man and a half Middle Eastern man, high five. Yes, it's very white.
It's hard to explain.
But then when you go to the South, it's very backwards and conservative, and yet it's very diverse.
Yep.
There's a lot of black people, mostly black people,
yep,
and a lot of white people.
Yep.
And so you get that mix, and you get you get a lot of racism, but you also get a lot of tolerance and a lot of exposure to different viewpoints that you don't get in the Pacific Northwest.
It's in your face racism. Like, they're not mean behind your back. Like,
it's not covert.
Well, because I said, like, a lot of times, a lot of things that a lot of liberals do is they're kind of racist in a weird way where I'm like, I kind of want to punch you, but I get that your heart's in the right place, I guess. Like, you know, like, a lot of reasons why everyone has an issue with the IDs was, like, they're like, oh, a lot of black people don't have IDs. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's what's the bigotry of lowered expectations.
Yeah, it's this weird kind of like, so it's this weird kind of like hidden racism. Yep. So like what you get is when you compare like the South to like other more liberal regions like the Pacific Northwest, is you're definitely exposed to the stupidity of the South and all the dumb bullshit that it's produced and exported. But it's also like
it's
this kind of conundrum, you know, where there actually is a level of tolerance there and there is a level of diversity that you don't get in other places, you know?
No, I know exactly what you're saying, man. It's because, like, when I went back to Kansas City, it was like, I was like, man, I love being able to say things that I couldn't say up there because everyone's not going to be offended by it because they're okay with words. Like, yeah, those are just words. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's totally like a Southern thing. But as soon as you go liberal, it's like, we got to be offended for the people who aren't offended. It's like, that's because you don't know anyone because you've never been around anyone other than... It's very homogenous. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Pacific Northwest
and
is very
the Pacific... I'm not shitting on the Pacific Northwest because I really... I like it up here because it's you know, it's a
They're
little open-minded. More open-minded. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But it's not as simple as saying, like, the South is dumb and the Pacific Northwest is smart because it's not... It's not true. The South is dumb, but it's also more than that.
Yeah.
And the Pacific Northwest
isn't
always that great. And you could say the same about any number of regions. And I'm not just talking about, like, you know, whiteness.
No,
I'm talking about, like, just the attitudes. And that kind of goes back to what you're saying, which is, like, there's a level of, like...
open, like,
it's, yeah, it just has to do with, like, being exposed to different shit. And you don't get a lot of that in some
here,
places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in like this weird, and it's, man, because like that's a thought I've had. That's why I said like sometimes I get aggravated up here because I'm like, people say stuff where you're like, that's kind of ignorant, but I don't know how to explain it to you because I understand where you're trying to make, I understand your point, but your point's kind of off, but then you kind of don't want to get, basically, I don't want to get yelled at because you're thinking that I'm being offensive, like, well, I mean, earlier when you were like, I don't know where your leaning goes. And I was like, it's because, like, I grew up in Colorado, which is, again, another blue state. But they're still cowboys. They're still, like, you know, as soon as you go outside of city limits, you're in a plains area, there's deers.
Oh, I've been to Colorado.
Yeah, before. Right.
So, they're not good with eye contact in that state. They don't like it. It pisses them off, like, very directly. They're just like, I don't know.
We think you're trying to interrogate us.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right.
Yeah, super. It's super like...
It's just Colorado. They don't like eye contact.
No. We will speak to you. We don't have headphones and we'll talk to you, but we're also like, what are you trying to get out of me?
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
They're still cowboys. They're still like very much... other than gold, we were also a cattle town. Like the biggest people that came out of there is Molly Brown and Levi Evans. Like two women who were both bordello, like they were madams of bordellos. Like we were backwoods, and then like what happened was a bunch of white people went west, hit the mountains, and stopped. That's Denver.
Like, ah, fuck it. Those peaks are too high.
I'm not climbing over that. I'm just going to stop right here. But they were like, this is as far west, but they were open mind. Like they're open minded. Like we say, like they are just past the South where they are open minded. Like some people.
Oh yeah. The West and the South are very different.
Well, Colorado sided with the South in the Civil War. They were a territory. People don't know that.
That's right? Weird you say about
that's going so far back.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's
though.
Weird you say about the eye contact though, because I feel like when you can make solid eye contact with somebody you're talking to them, I feel like that plays well for you. You know, like
it
a
should.
Lot of people can't do that around here, and especially when it comes to women. Like when you know women are talking to me, I mean, I make good eye contact with them. I'm usually not listening to the words they're saying, I'm just focusing on the eyes. But no, that's pretty funny that they said. But
it's true though, right? In Colorado.
No, you're not wrong, but what's weird is Colorado has more women than men, So you have a good shot of finding at least a couple of women who will give you eye contact, where you got a better shot than you do in Washington.
Yeah, like I've had a girl before tell me, like, when I was making good eye contact,
she thought it was creepy?
She was amazed. She thought I was like looking through her, almost like looking into her soul, and I think it like turned her on. I mean, she was nice. Crazy. She was crazy as shit, you know. Don't get me wrong.
Well,
but yeah, she gave me some serious credit for it, yeah, but. I want to go back though to what you guys are talking. You know, we kind of got into the liberal
and the conservative thing.
And
stuff.
And I want to. This is a topic that I wanted to make sure that we discussed. This is a very liberal state, you know, and I think the term liberal is. I think the meaning of it has been very tweaked recently. You know, I think people like to call themselves liberals, even though they don't necessarily always adhere to liberal ideologies. But I wanted to discuss with you guys something that I've been thinking about and. I thought about it a lot recently, and I feel like, you know, we're all comedians here. We do stand up locally here. I feel like a vast majority of the stand up community would consider themselves liberals, you know, especially the men. I mean, the women too, you know, to be honest, they definitely are too, but definitely the men consider themselves liberals more or less. And it's just so funny to me because, you know, comedians are people who are very analytical. They're curious.
Logic.
They like to look into things. You know, they see things from a weird perspective, and they like to analyze stuff. Yet, a lot of these liberal comedians that I see all the time and I deal with, mm-hmm. they don't actually look into a lot of these topics. They just buy into the headlines and the trends and the talking points and the way people feel, and then they just run with it. You know, and a lot of times you can have a discussion with them, and the facts don't even matter.
Stand-up is a popularity contest.
It definitely is, and I think there's a little bit of a group mentality as far as that goes, and I think the liberal side of it has, you know, they've won that so far, and yeah, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, things keep going in that direction because of that, but it's so shocking to me because I'm somebody who, you know, I consider myself liberal for a long time, but to be honest with you guys, I don't agree with a lot of what liberals stand for these days, and
you
so I'm kind of gone away from
chicken
that.
Nuggets.
But, and now that I have kind of got away from that, I almost feel like I'm a pariah in the stand-up community.
You made me eat vegan chicken nuggets, you bastard.
There was, they were tofu-based.
Oh, that's what you said, vegan chicken nuggets.
Yeah, you made me
eat
vegan chicken nuggets the other day.
Wait, so no, that's we should stay on that. You feel like you're a pariah because of...
Because
of, like, more conservative views?
Yeah. I was out at a show last week. And I'm not going to name anybody specifically, but I had a comedian that came after me. He had the same initials as the city of Hong Kong.
Okay.
So that'll make it pretty clear to you guys. But he came up after me and, you know, not that I'm offended or upset about it or made a big deal of it because, you know, I'm a white cisgendered male. I mean, it's white privilege to me is the ability to have people say whatever the fuck they want to me, and I just shrug it off like it's nothing. Like
that's a therapist.
That's white privilege in my world.
Okay.
But he basically went up after me and essentially called me a racist, you know, like after my set, because I had one joke about we're bringing...
What was your joke?
My joke was Trump's in office now, and according to my liberal friends, we're bringing racism back, so that's good. You know, I mean, you guys can hear the context of it as
right.
I just tell you that, you know, obviously. But basically called me a racist, you know, and I'm just like, and I just thought to myself, wow, is this how people really see me? Like, just because I don't go with the Rachel Maddow MSNBC narrative on all these topics, I mean, is this what people think of me?
Laith, do you want to answer this?
I think, well, I know what you're thinking.
Well,
I know what Marcus is thinking.
Well, he's my friend, but he also knows sometimes I really hate him. So,
sometimes. Are you kidding me?
The way that I see it is when you get a white dude on stage, if he doesn't directly say how he's aligned politically, and then you make a comment like that, or you make a joke like that, it's weird. It just swings to the right. People are like, yep, he's this way. And then in everybody's mind, that's like when you swing to the right, you're immediately a racist.
Well, it's like, well, is
but
that...
The reality is there's gray area. And you're trying to make converse... You're trying to create a dialogue from a distinct point of view. And they're seeing it from a very extreme, you know, cisgendered, white, male, racist, Republican point of view. And the truth is that there's a lot of gray there. And you're not that far right.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you explain yourself?
But you're also at a stand-up show, and shit gets, you know, it's the tension can get kind of high, and that's what makes it fun. But it's also like, nobody's going to take the time to appreciate that gray area. Nobody's going to take the time to, you know, to deal with the ambiguity of a certain stance. Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think, you know, once you make a certain comment or whatever, and yeah, if you haven't made it clear already, then boom, they're going all the way. The needle's going.
You don't
all
have power steering. You know, once you start spinning the wheel this way, it's the ship is going that way.
Oh my God. I want to say, Laith, you are the second guest ever to use a car analogy. Thank you, God, because I hate being alone.
I called
alone.
The car a ship, but yeah.
Well, I mean, like, still yeah. Power steering.
I was thinking of that Chance song with 2 Chainz has that verse on that Chance song.
No, say it.
You know, and he's like, big yacht, no power steering. I don't know.
Well, because boats do have power steering, so you're not wrong. It's just that the fact that you said power steering, the only other person was Kirkwood, because I love that you use that. Yeah, no, totally, you're a rudderless ship.
What do you think? Do you feel like it's the same way? Do you feel like it's all liberal when it comes to the scene around here?
It sucks that you have to identify yourself with parties because we are in a liberal city where it's also, other than being liberal, Seattle's also cliquey. So you now also have to identify yourself and put yourself in a group. You have to categorize yourself like an album.
Yeah.
You have to go like, I'm this part of that shelf. Like, you have to, because otherwise you're going to get lumped in with people. Because my views are, some of them align with you on certain aspects of things, but as soon as you voice that statement, all of a sudden you're lumped in as a misogynist or a sexist.
Or a racist.
Or a racist and, or a bigot.
And, yeah.
Like,
and you have to, like, because with Seattle, with the Seattle scene, silence is kind of like...
accepted?
It doesn't really exist. Like, they act like they're not reacting, but they are.
Yes.
So you have to you have to be very direct, even though, like, the attitude and, you know, is kind of like people aren't direct. It's not true. Like, it's just kind of like you really have to say exactly how you feel, and you have to hit people with your opinion, and they have to know where you stand. Otherwise, shit gets really, like, it's hard to control people's perception of you unless you're just very direct about it.
It's because you have to figure out what that person went through when they were 6 years old, and you have to make it come from their gut, and you're like, I don't know what happened to you when you were, like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking at you.
Yeah, is like that. Like, there is a lot of baggage, because also we're just dealing with stand-ups in general.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's just emotional baggage and shit, and they're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and who, it really, like, it's, that's a big part of it. And then the other part of it is, like, you're not a racist, right? Like,
you don't know me that well.
Yeah, but
right?
There's no way that
no comment.
There's no way. There's just no way, you know. Mm-hmm. And you just have to, like, make that clear. And you can't just be like, look, I'm not a racist. Like, you have to make it clear through your jokes, is what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. That has to be a direct statement through your material.
Mm-hmm. State, you know? It first.
Like, you got to can kind of earn the privilege to have ambiguity in your act. You can mm-hmm. kind of earn the privilege to be a little gray.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think
that's what I think. I'm not giving you advice. I'm just saying what I think.
Listen, I'm always open to it, but no, but the thing is, with me, for comedy, it's like, I'm going up there and I'm trying to say the most ridiculous shit possible. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to fucking come, because the style of comedy that I adhere to and that I appreciate most is people who are taking some fucking shots. Okay. I want people to take some swings. You know, I don't want this mamby pamby tiptoe around this and that. I mean, some people are into that, and that's fine.
That's exactly right. If you're going to engage with those topics, you have to be direct about it.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite comedians is Brian Regan. You know, the guy can be clean as hell. He doesn't swear at all. You can take your kids to a show and he's still funny as shit. That being said, I like people who are pushing the boundaries. You know, to me, comedy is all about saying just ridiculous, over the top, out of control shit, you know, catching people completely off guard. And that's what makes it funny to me. And that's what I appreciate the most. And it doesn't even, you don't have to mean it. You know, you don't have to mean it. I mean, 75% of the shit that I say when I'm on stage, I don't even mean.
Okay. So I've recently.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I think that's a privilege you have to earn, because I feel the same way. I don't mean the things that I say when they're heinous, you know, but it, and on stage and off stage, but it's a privilege that you earn to be able to just kind of say dumb shit, yeah. You know?
I literally know people who their response is, words mean things. So you can't just say whatever you want because it does affect people. So it's a weird, like you were saying, a gray area where you like, can I thread that needle and get people to go with me with my thoughts? But
and you can, and you, like I was saying, you got to earn the privilege. Mm-hmm. But and it's also like a lot of that privilege, quote unquote, it comes from familiarity.
Yeah.
And it comes from hard work.
Uh-huh.
And it comes from being recognized, you know, stuff like that. Like, it's just you got to continue to show up, and you got to make friends, and you got to, like,
so I don't get that
people
got to
kind of understand where you're coming from, and then they award you the privilege, you know.
So I don't get it just because I'm white?
No. No, you lost that privilege.
Not in stand up.
No,
not in stand up.
You lost that privilege 300 years ago.
Stand up is that kind of art form where maybe it didn't start out this way, but it is sort of evolving into like a very left wing sort of voice, and what makes that a viable thing, and what makes it something that people want to continue to listen to, is that people. Is that the comics who practice it, right? The comic, like, who are, you know, people who are doing stand up, big voices.
Yeah,
they're letting in that ambiguity that we were discussing. You know, like Louis, you know, like he
explained rape to people.
He could be left, he could be right. You don't really know with him because there's ambiguity.
Yeah,
but the left claims him, and definitely dudes on the right claim him. You know,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah, because he's a redheaded
white
guy.
Yeah, you know, and Louis is just the biggest example. But mm-hmm. it's like, all right, yeah, okay. I think it's a vocal piece for the left, but it's also what makes it a good, viable art form, and what makes it engaging and compelling are people with differing viewpoints using it.
Yeah,
right.
No, and that's what you're kind of going for. You know, again, the point of comedy is to catch people off guard. You know, and you kind of set them up. You're going this way. We're going this way. We're going over here. Oh, no, just kidding. We took a left turn right at the end there. And, yeah, you do need some ambiguity as far as that. It is a good point, would you say. You kind of earn it, and I do kind of see that, especially within the comedy community. You know, I mean, you can't really earn it with the audience, especially when you're doing a fucking 5-minute set. You know, you don't have enough time for that.
No.
You just got to get up there and say them, and hopefully they connect, you know. But there definitely is that part of it. And I've seen it with some people. You know, there's certain people that I can tell that I've kind of earned that.
Hong Kong.
And again, there's other people there I clearly haven't earned that with, you know, and I still have some work to do. But
some people
I just can't, you know, just I wish people could just understand, when you go to a comedy show, you're going to hear some ridiculous ass shit, okay?
See,
that's how it goes. You're going to hear, and again, 75% of what's coming out of my mouth, I probably don't mean. Okay.
All right.
But that's where the comedy comes from, is because we're trying to be outlandish, outrageous, and just fucking come out of left field with this shit. You know, if I came up there and was logical and well gathered and all this, it wouldn't be funny. I mean, it's already not funny, but it'd be even less funny at that point. You know.
See, I don't know, because you're going for like outlandish and whatever. It sounds like mildly controversial. I'm going for hypocrisy. I just want people to know that sometimes they're fucking stupid. That's all I'm doing, and that's also why I'm gonna try to spin this into something. Lathe, you're from Louisiana. Trump was there. I think a former Democrat from New York, born and raised, very aggressive, very assertive, did that. I think he never established his base before he started saying stupid shit, because he was like, I can get these Southern people to agree with me by saying the most outlandish things, and they will vote for me. I don't think he meant to get this far. I don't. But I think it worked to the point where he's like, well, I'm here now. And that's what I think he did, because I keep saying, like, every time the Republicans win, people freak out. And I said, I remember when Obama won, everyone freaked out. And they were like, he's going to make us into a giant communist country. And I was like,
well, if we're talking about Louisiana, the thing with Louisiana that you always have to remember about that particular state is is how old school those people are.
French old school.
they're parochial.
Yeah,
well, you know, like they're not comfortable with change. Well, most of the people I grew up with,
mm-hmm.
honestly, they're as far from all the awful conservative stereotypes that you can get. And yet they continue to vote Republican, and they probably voted for Trump.
Well, I mean, like,
and that's simply because they don't feel comfortable voting for, number one, a woman, number two, a Democrat, Number three, they don't. Number three,
minorities.
They don't feel comfortable.
Gays?
Well, maybe no. It's just they don't want that kind of
change.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I was saying something, I forgot, but it's just an old school state, and they voted for Trump not actually kind of for the opposite of what you're saying. Like, they didn't really want to shake things up. They just didn't want for them, Hillary is a bigger departure than Trump.
Well, the only reason I bring up the Trump thing is because there's the video of him trying to ask them, I was voted a person of the year by Time, and should it be man of the year? And they all applauded, and they're like, woo! And he's like, yeah, what about the women? The women are agreeing that it should be man of the year. I'm a man, you know? And I was like, all right. And I was like, Louisiana. I've only been once, because I have family in Baton Rouge, and I have a friend that lives in Bosser City.
Bossier?
Bossier.
Yeah, Bossier City. Louisiana. Yeah, I went to LSU. So that's in Baton Rouge.
You went to LSU, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, so she lives there. So, I mean, like, I've only been once to the family member. I've never been to my friend that lives in Bossier. How the hell is that Bossier? It's B-O-S-S-I-E-R?
Bossier.
God, fucking
friend. We're not going to change it here.
That's
right?
Shreveport. So that's
because
that's up there. That's North Louisiana. That's kind of where I'm from.
Oh, yeah. Well, because what I loved was that it was like... they had everything with its, was it B, M-E-U-A-X? It was like, oh, wow. I'm trying to remember. He had like a banner.
Oh, yeah, Mo.
I mean, it was Mo something, but he was like, vote for, it was like something. And I was like, why do they have an E and U and X? And I was like, oh, yeah, Louisiana.
Because it's pronounced O. So, like, it's like, go Tigers, but it's spelled G-E-A-U-X. You know?
Mm. So Louisiana is our Montreal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
No, and like the point I was trying to make, I guess I already made it, is I'm stumbling through this for some reason. It's hard for me to talk about Louisiana, but it really is like a very conservative state in like a literal way. Like, it's just they don't like change. And Trump was less scary for them than Hillary.
Well, I mean, you know? To be fair, I didn't want to vote for Hillary because I was kind of tired of, we've already done two family members of Bushes, and I was like, I don't want to do the Clintons again.
Seriously, get this oligarchy out of here.
Well, he went oligarchy.
And you know, like, so now Trump's in office, and...
Well, you got time.
And he's kind of, it's weird, like, he's keeping his campaign promises in a weird way because he's bringing in outsiders, like true outsiders, to fill his cabinet positions, but like, are those people to be trusted?
Well, they're still swampy. They're still involved with lots of big businesses that he.
They don't, the old, like what we did was we swapped bureaucrats for, you know, corporate people.
Yeah, he's still so that's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of the people,
it's the same monster.
Yeah,
you know, it's just like the.
What did you really do?
It's the opposite side of the coin.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. And that's why I said I feel bad that I feel like they got tricked. They got told this one thing. They got Kansas City shuffled. You know, look this way, and here goes another thing. Yeah.
But it's hard, though. I mean, it's hard because what do you do? What do you do? Do you bring in people who are completely inexperienced and have nothing to do, you know, who have nothing at all? I mean, you got to have people that have something behind what they're doing, you know? I mean, I understand you don't want that corporate element. You don't want those, you know, entrenched politicians too. But then where do you go from there?
What
else do we have to work with, you know, besides Joe Schmo, who's been a fucking plumber for 30 years and, you know, maybe he reads a couple articles every week and so he stays up on some political news.
What happened to Joe Schmo, that one guy who was like...
I don't know.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? No, but...
I think that, like, from, like... it kind of go like, all right, it doesn't really go back to this, but this is how I perceive these arguments. You have good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is good? What is evil?
Well, that's the question. I mean, and who gets to decide that?
I saw Batman
versus
Superman.
What I mean is, like, Obama, for example, and I voted for Obama twice, and I'm a Democrat, and I was happy when he was in office. Mm-hmm. For me, those were the golden years. And yet Obama deported more illegal immigrants and more, you know, more like Hispanics, like, than anybody else.
Yep.
And he was responsible for all these awful killings and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Pakistan,
drone strikes,
the drone strikes.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, just,
you know, and like, in a weird way, like, he was the most aggressive president,
right?
You know, like, he was more, in a weird way, he was more aggressive than Bush.
He was more conservative.
That's
than
arguable,
Bush.
But
yeah,
you get what I'm saying.
Yep.
Like, so was he really the president that we thought he was? Was he really the good guy?
Looking for?
Yeah. Or was he actually the truly evil one?
Right.
And in turn, look at Trump. Like, maybe, even though he's pissed everybody off and he's made a mockery of the election and the office, maybe when he gets in power, like when they finally bring him in, like he's gonna like be the actually, like by his actions, he'll end up being a good guy.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's my
hope. What I hope.
Yeah, that's what I hope. My thing that I always, that I'm still holding on, is the fact that the Congress is still split, because a lot of the GOP Republicans don't like him. So I'm like, okay, good. There, these old guys who are still like, don't take my gun, women shouldn't talk, you know, the good old boys, yeah, are still in there like, I don't like this guy because he's shooting from the hip and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then you got the other guys like, yeah, I kind of like that he's saying this stuff. And then you got the couple of Democrats who made it through the wall of everyone's like, you screwed us. And they're in the office, and I'm like, I'm hoping there's enough people in Congress, because I keep telling people that we still have three branches, you know? We still have Congress, and we still have legislature. As much as he can try to push stuff through, one of my issues with Obama, not him, was his presidency, was he was still getting screwed a lot of times. He was like, I want to push this through. And Congress, a bunch of the Republicans, were like, no. And
they fought him.
They fought him.
You know, like, and so Trump now has, like, a lot of support, though. Like, you're right, a lot of the GOP Congress people and senators are, you know, they're not necessarily on board, but they're still Republican.
Right.
And he ran as a Republican, and they have the majority.
They're going to run that party line.
You know, and at the very, like, I don't know how it's all going to play out, but it's scary to me.
I feel like
that he has that much power, because it's kind of like, you know, with Obama. He was inheriting the office from Bush, and Bush, as much of an asshole as he was still playing the game,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now Obama played the game, and now with Trump, it's like,
what are we playing?
He's bringing in all these people, and they're just pulling out wires.
Change it?
They're pulling it out. They're mm-hmm. just ripping shit open, and they're what is going to happen? Yeah.
But
I'm not. I choose not to be scared. I'm not looking at this as like the Nazis coming to power, but it is kind of like social media definitely wants to give it that spin.
Yep.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And the media wants to give it that spin to a certain extent. And, you know, it's kind of like, all right, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. How far is he going to take it? And when does he start playing the game? Because mm-hmm. right now, he's kind of in overdrive, and he just keeps winning.
Yeah.
Oh, he literally just tweeted an hour ago.
He needs to, like, somebody's got to check him. He's not getting checked. Like, nobody is questioning him. He's just doing everything that he wants. He's bringing all of his people.
But here's the thing, though. I mean,
because he's really changing shit, and mm-hmm. and I don't agree with it.
Right.
You know?
But here's the thing, though. I mean, he's in a unique spot, and I completely agree with you on that. He has Congress behind him as far as, you know, the letter next to their name. I mean, they're in agreement with him as far as that goes. And if nothing else, if shit doesn't get done and he doesn't make things happen, everybody can hold him accountable. You know, we sit here, and I appreciate the fact that you voted for Obama. And you can still sit here and say, yeah, I did, but this and this,
right.
I'm not too happy about. If that happens with Trump, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. You know, he's got Congress is a tailwind for him.
Right.
And if this guy can't get some shit done, then we can be like, you know what, man? We fucking gave you a chance and you fucked it up.
Yeah.
You fucked it up. You had the wind at your back and you still couldn't make it happen.
See, that's why somebody needs to bring in the accountability.
You want someone to rein him in?
Because he got through the whole election process without getting checked. He got away with everything. Because usually what happens is the media checks people. They find dirt and it trips people up.
But like we said,
it didn't happen with him.
Twitter and Facebook. Because as much as everyone hates Twitter is, you can get more of a following being a Trump supporter on Twitter than you can be being a Democrat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because Twitter is a bunch of people who are like, this is my, I have a cell phone and I have 3G data.
A lot of, like, oh yeah, dude, like when people were talking about, like during the election, when people were like talking about like how like, he's not, you know, he's not going to win. It's impossible.
Yeah.
The whole time I knew he was going to, once he got as far as he did and he was like the actual Republican candidate, I knew he was going to win.
In your mind, really?
You can't get that far with that kind of momentum built on the things that he did without really taking it all the way.
Man, where were you a couple of episodes ago? Me and him had a panic episode where we were like, Hillary's going to win. Yeah. We got to learn how to speak some Russian because we're going to be sitting in the gulags of Russia because we're going to be POWs. We were panicking because I was like, she literally said stuff where she was like instigating Russia. She was like, they're hacking us. we're going to go at them with political, economic, and military power. And then, like, later on, she said some other stuff. And then there was, like, an interview with CNNBC or something where they interviewed Putin. Putin was like, she's talking a bunch of shit about me. She doesn't know me. And she's like, she wants to fight with us. I'm not trying to fight her, but she wants to. We can throw bows. And then she goes on the last fucking presidential debate. And she goes, I don't know if you guys seen it, but Russia's hacking our stuff. And I'm like, oh, no shit. Now they want him to win because they don't want to fight. They don't want to fight. They are still
trying to act tough.
They're trying to act tough. They're still rebuilding. The only thing they ever did when Obama was in office was they invaded Ukraine. And then Obama was like, hey, don't do that. And then Russia was like, look, we're just trying to help their political uprising like you did in Syria and Libya. Leave us alone. And Obama was like, all right, cool.
I think. From what I've read about Russian politics is they're on the decline.
Yes.
Yeah. And the way that they're kind of coping with that is by lashing out militarily. They're being more aggressive. They're trying to assert their leadership in Eastern Europe. Yeah, you know?
That's politics 101 though. Yep. That's what happens. You have a crisis. Things aren't going good in your country.
You blame someone.
Who can we blame this on? These people. Yeah. Oh yeah, and we're gonna go fight them now, so that everybody's distracted by that and they forget about what the real problem is going on over here. I mean, this is history's playbook. I mean, this happens over and over again.
And which is why I am scared, because at the end of Trump's presidency, if it's not going well, he will totally try to Putin us, because everyone forgets Putin was a really rich man who got the office of the president. What the hell is he? Prime? I don't know what he is.
He is the emperor.
Yeah. Seriously, dude. I was trying to write a joke today about Russia's government. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is their government?
Oh, it's
just making it up as they go.
It's making it up as
they
go.
They used to have a president.
No, yeah. After Gorbachev.
And now he's, what happened to him? He's gone. And now, Putin is just, the emperor.
Putin's there, and, they don't have any other opposing parties, and he's the only one that's like, hey, I'm making us great again. We're going to be fine. They don't have lines for food, so no one's, starving and panicking like they were before the Baryshnikovs, whatever the hell it was, before the fucking, what's his goddamn name? The Lenin took over and overthrew it and killed Anastasia and all the family. Mm-hmm. He took over from that, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. But he's totally this big rich dude who's like, I'm going to fix our country. I'm going to rebuild our power. They're one of the people who I think want us to melt the ice caps, because they've been skirmishing to get ready to try to be the first ones to jump on it. As soon as all the ice is gone, we got to drill for all that oil. It's us and Russia and China, and we're all who's going to be the first one to get this oil when it's all gone? And I'm like, that's kind of terrifying, because we're all like, oh, let's get the oil. And I'm like, man, I hope Elon's got a goddamn solution for this.
China's the one that we're afraid of.
We owe them a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not Russia. Russia, all right, they hacked our election. They fucked with the results.
Well,
that happens. That probably happens every election.
But I'm like, if they did,
process.
I'm like, that makes
sense.
If
we do that with Russia, and that
happens,
we do that with other
countries all the time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, let's not be fools here. Everybody's hacking everybody constantly.
Yeah.
And again, he was talking about Clinton. I mean, that was what scared me. You know, she's talking about cyber attacks against us, and she's talking about responding with actual attacks.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you fucking crazy? You're going to start a war because these guys wanted to get into our servers and get some emails and shit? This is insanity. This stuff's going on all the time.
They're wiki-linking us? Yeah, because because Obama's again telling Snowden's a bad guy. Because he told us what the government was doing that's fucking us? Yeah, he's a bad guy now? Is that really what it is?
Yeah, no, his life's been way better.
Assange is now in front. I'm like, why are you kicking out political terrorists because they're leaking political information that he's giving to the people? He's not selling it.
Well, can't you see how their personal lives have benefited? Snowden, you know? I mean, he's had a vacation in Russia now for 5 years.
Didn't he get to
can't come home now?
Didn't he go to the Olympics?
I'm sure he's loving it over there.
He's fine.
That worked out well for him.
Yeah, it worked out
fine. It worked out really well for him.
And that's what I'm saying, where you're this political thing where I'm like, that's how far, I love that we are in a country where we have different parties. I hate that it's just two parties, because at a certain point, to be a party where you have enough media intrigue or whatever say, and there's a guy who runs this business and he can throw some money at you and get that law passed so his business can do that and whatever, the Democrats aren't better than the Republicans. They're exactly the same thing. And I keep saying it every time. Like, when is everyone going
to
realize
that this? That was kind of the point I was trying to make earlier.
There's two sides
it's
of the
like,
coin.
What's good what's good and evil?
There's two sides of the coin. When do we realize it's the same goddamn coin? And I'm like, why does no one ever, when you vote for third party, everyone gives you shit? And you're like,
see,
that's
kind of why, like, my political thinking is just I align myself with the Democrat Party and then I just vote party lines because it's good. We're, either way is wrong. That's. Either way is wrong.
Pick a team and stick with it.
Exactly. It's consistency is the name of the game. You just keep voting Democrat.
You're not going to get it right either way.
Eventually, you'll get one right.
This is those 1 year where I turned into Bill Burr. I was like, I have to research more because apparently the last year I voted, where I voted along my political lines, I'm still fucked. What happened? Nothing happened. And then the year before that, the first year I got to vote, I was excited I could vote. I was just like, woo, checkbox everything. What's he? Yeah, so I mean, like, I just
Can I go to the bathroom?
No, yeah, you can totally, because I'm just talking to everyone.
Can you guys just talk, and then I'll just go.
Yeah, no, we've done this before. No, so I mean, like, that's how I went when I went for this year's voting thing, and it just weirds me out. I mean, how close are we? We are really close to Christmas, and literally, this year is almost over. Thank God.
I know, it's been crazy. I can't believe it's coming down this quick, but.
This is why we need the third party, though, man. I mean, we've discussed this before, but when you only have the two parties, again, like he said, he's voting along
party
political
lines,
and he's not a good example of this because he seems surprisingly moderate, even though, you know, he's real.
Open-minded,
too. Yeah, he's real about this. Yeah, he's a true liberal who actually has an open mind. But when there's only two parties, it's like you have your party.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fucking enemy on the other side.
Right?
And fuck those guys.
Civil
they are
war.
Fucking assholes. If we snuck a third party in here somehow, you don't have that single enemy. You know, it's just, well, it's us and then it's everybody else.
Yeah.
But at least you're not concentrating all of your hatred towards
one group.
You know, it's like,
you
well,
split a
it's
little
the
bit.
People who don't agree with us, you know. And so it kind of dulls down the rhetoric a little bit. You know, it kind of softens the blows somewhat. And I think that's important for us, man. And, you know, I can't stand all this fucking fighting back and forth, and I thought it was going to calm down after the election, but it still stayed. They've still ramped
really?
It up pretty high.
On your side, on still. My side, it's kind of lessened because I feel like I am now able to better explain myself because I feel like after he got elected, I've been more able to vocalize myself, and people don't immediately react in an argumentative way. It could be because I'm black.
That definitely
helps. I think it helps because they're like, why is he making his viewpoint? I'm like, because you're being a dummy. And
he's supposed to like the Democrats.
Yeah, he's supposed to like the Democrats.
He's a black guy.
Again, the liberals being racist, but they don't know it.
The bigotry of lowered expectations.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, you're black, you have to vote. And I was like, for Democrats. I'm like, no. I can totally play Pokemon Go and be on Team Instinct. I don't have to be on Valor or Mystic. That's stupid. And that's, I feel like it's, I don't know, on my end, it's not as bad as it was before. It's still kind of there, but like the people on the right aren't as yelly as the people as the left are as yelly. They're both about the same amount of yelly.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're close, you know, but the thing is, if you go to the far fringe, I mean, it's essentially the same, you know, it's just what they're yelling about is a little different, but it's essentially the same.
It's so tiring though. I can't do that.
But I'm telling you, man, though, it's this bigotry of lower expectations. And yeah, I think a lot of times liberals, I think they are more racist, man. I think they are more racist when they think
they're Hollywood racist.
When
I
they
told
think
you.
That all these groups need protection, you know, they need to be taken care of and they need help because they can't do it for themselves.
Yeah.
Like, how much more racist is it than that?
Well, I mean, being a person of color in America and everyone's worried about the Nazis, the alt-right taking over. I'm still like, yeah, what is he going to do? Deport Jay-Z and Beyonce? Like, I'm like, I'm not worried. I feel like we've advanced enough in the 8 years where I'm not worried about him being outright dicks. Because, again, people in the South who are around people of color more so than other regions where I feel like they are less diverse.
We're a little more isolated, yeah.
They are probably more likely to defend their friend, Shaniqua, from being... deported and like, you know,
wow, that was racist.
What the fuck are you? It's like Billy Ray is not gonna let his goddamn
friends
get like they're not. I don't think they will.
With people from the South, like they're just like everybody else, you know. Like even though like they probably don't necessarily have racist beliefs, like when the shit hits the fan, they're gonna let all of the Muslims and all the Jews and all the Mexicans like go to the camps.
You think
because that's just how people are. Like they're gonna be like, I don't want a problem.
See, now I don't.
Nobody. I don't think anybody. I think. we need to stand up more.
I feel like that won't happen as...
I feel like people...
I think it's less likely because of the internet.
I feel like people definitely like...
I feel like it's less likely because of the internet. It's less likely to happen. You can't
just...
They
avoid conflict.
Well, no. I mean, like, you can now film it and upload it. You can now record it and put it somewhere. It can't just be a thing where, like, they took my neighbors at the night and no one knew. I feel like it's less likely to be a thing like it was in the past, which is why I fear
it
less.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I hope, but, you know, like, it's just people have to stand up for one another.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be a certain amount of pacifism out there, you know, in my opinion. I mean, a good analogy for this is Facebook. Like, I look at Facebook, and mainly what I try to do on Facebook is crack jokes, okay? That's my main thing.
I think
Facebook in general is a fucking joke, to be honest, more than anything. But I try to make jokes with Facebook, and I look at the people who react to my posts, and it's typically the same people a lot of time. And I think more or less there's a certain amount of people who, whether they like it or not, they're just never going to react to any of your shit.
Are you posting publicly or are you posting privately?
No, I posted publicly. But there's a certain amount of people who are just not going to react to anything you say at all, you know, whether they like it or not. Unless you're getting married or you're having a fucking kid, you know, then everybody feels obligated to like your post.
You're being a narcissist.
What do you mean?
Because you're echo chambering. You got to remember that no matter how much you're publicly posting it, everyone's timeline is different than yours. Their line might be faster. They might not see it. That's why I don't think Facebook is a good place to be that. I think the best place to do it is Twitter, because you're not posting it to your friends or your family. You're posting it to the world. You're like, Facebook isn't... That's why I use it to let my friends and people know how I am going to... That's my platform. Like, this is how I am as a person. But I don't use it as my voice. My voice is on Twitter. That's why I tell my friends. I said, if you really want to know me, that's where I post all my nude shit, not me nude. Because nudity is allowed on Twitter. So I'm like, all right, so like, here goes all my sex posts. Here goes all my misogynist all right,
so,
posts.
So, you, Marcus,
yes.
You used to edit porn.
I did.
And now you're talking about nudes on Twitter.
Yeah. That's how I got on Twitter. I got on Twitter when I started working at the place, because I realized a lot of the porn stars were on Twitter, because they're like, yeah, nudes is allowed there.
So you retweet porn stars?
I follow porn stars. You don't have to retweet them.
So... What's your fascination with porn? Is it like...
No. I worked there, and when I started
his wiener hard.
Shut up. When I started working,
doesn't it all?
When I started,
doesn't it?
You know,
what? You get it.
But I hate you guys. Well, no. When I started working there, it was the most convenient way to conversate with people without my family member and my friends who would be easily offended by all the sex.
No, I just want to know. I mean, I hear you, but like, I just want to know, like, why did you get into to editing porn in the first place?
I had a friend who got the job, and he's like, you want to work at editing porn, because I know you edited stuff and you know how to edit, you want to get this job? And I was like, sure. And I didn't know it was actually a porn job.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you didn't like go after a career in porn?
The company, so also they made real movies,
so they casting couched you on the interview.
I hate you guys. They made real movies, and then when I got interviewed, the interview went weird, and I was like, this is not film.
This is not normal.
Well, I mean, it's still film, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't what I thought. And I was like, oh, how much are you paying me? Oh, okay. I totally sold my soul.
$30 an hour full-time gig?
Full-time gig, yeah. I was off. The only problem was I had to go back to work Monday night, so I was technically off Saturday.
So what did you do? You just cut film 8 hours a day?
And I cut film 8 hours a day, but I got in trouble a lot because I always cut out blowjobs because I don't like them.
Oh,
so you had some creative license on the stuff you
have to make the film a certain length,
uh-huh.
A certain hour of time, or hour of time. You have to make it at least an hour to an hour and a half, depending on what kind of compilation it was. You had to have transitions, different filters, you know, color correction, all that shit.
What's with these guys who don't like blowjobs, okay?
That's
about as un-American as it
gets, all
right?
We literally just had a conversation where we're like, you can't have two political parties because it's stupid. You are now like, why are you going for the third? I don't like the third party in this case. I like the first and the second party are way better than the third party, so I was never a fan.
You're telling me anal's second party above the mouth?
Oral,
come on, Marcus.
Oral is fantastic.
Erroneous.
I'm trying to explain that oral is for women is more important than oral is for a man. I'm going to get my destination either way. That's just the worst way to get there.
I don't know,
so,
man.
So Can I find any of the porn you cut?
No. They got bought. So when they got bought by Hustler, they only wanted our online division because we had like a version of Battle Bang, which I don't know if you know what that is.
Battle Bang.
Yeah.
What's Battle Bang?
Two women would fight each other, and the loser gets the fuck. Or the winner gets the fuck the loser. And we had a version where it was two men, basically like UFC, like Greco-Roman wrestling, but they were wearing like, you know, leotards and stuff.
All right. Did you edit gay porn?
I did right before they fired me, yeah.
Wow.
Well, because I kept asking
so
for different
So you had
types
creative
of
license with gay porn, so no, you had to, no, like, watch the whole thing.
God,
and then
you really
figure
want the story?
Out.
So
I
when
really
I,
do.
So, okay, so when I started working there, I kept getting black porn, and I thought my boss was being racist. Again, not surprised. And I went up to her, and I said, can I not get more black, like, I keep getting black porn. I feel like you're picking me specifically, like, it's supposed to be like, oh, he's okay with this. I was like, can I get diverse stuff? So then I started getting, and I told her, I said, like, I like redheads. I got redhead porn for a while, and I got bored, and I was like, seriously, like, that's funny, and that's cool and everything, but I'm tired of doing redhead comps. Can I get something else? And I was like, yeah, my ex-girlfriend at the time was Asian, so I started getting Asian comps, and I was like, god dang. The holidays came around, and then all of a sudden, we had bought some new contracts from a different production company, and it started being like, you might not like what you're going to get. And I was like, what is it, gay porn? Yeah, it was gay porn. So I had, like, gay porn for a month, and it was fine because my brother's gay. So I was like, yeah, whatever. This is probably my, you know, I didn't pitch my brother in any of these scenes. I was just like, dude, do you ever do this? And he's like, oh, it's gross. Like, oh, good, you're not that gay. So I was like, fine. And it was an interesting thing, but literally at the end of that job, I was like, I'd rather read porn than watch it.
So how do you jack off now? Do you look at porn?
I'd rather read porn than watch it. I don't really jack off. Like
Oh, you're that guy reading it for the articles?
No, I don't read like articles in Playboy. Like there are like websites where you can just read porn.
Oh, like Literotica?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So one time I was jacking off to Literotica and I stumbled upon like child porn.
There is totally sections of that where it's weird and you have to
you can like read about it's not
they got
child
rid of it.
Porn they just it's just like it it's the warning. Written word, but it's child porn.
You literally they don't have that anymore. Like they got rid of it because it used to be on the bottom of the page because I noticed it was there because they also had like bestiality.
Yeah, that shit, it was so disturbing.
But it was written word. You can't really, like, as much as everyone's, like, censorship and First Amendment, whatever, you can't really censor words, because that's your imagination, and that's why I also, that's what happened. Working in porn ruined my imagination, where I was like, I gotta read it again, because I can't, I'm visualizing it, and it kind of ruined me with women, as far as what they were. So I was like,
That's how I feel about the children. No, but that I remember like reading this child porn scene on Literotica.com.
Very descriptive.
It's a real website, Literotica.com.
Oh, I know.
And it was like the most fucked up shit. It was like they took a scene from Jurassic Park with the two kids and they like turned it into this weird, awful child sex thing. Yeah. And I was like, that didn't need to happen.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, like, I started, that's what ended up happening for me doing that job was like, I now have to read it. Otherwise,
after that, I just stopped. Like, I just stopped reading porn because I assumed it was all like that.
Oh, well, I mean, you literally said you had to click it. Like, you have to click into it. Like, I just don't click that shit.
I just clicked,
like, the other weird stuff, like Mandingo Party section or whatever the hell. Like, I just avoid that whole thing. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. And then, like, what I realized was, like, at this job, I was now sexually okay with sex in general, where I was more open-minded to different types of sex. Not like me personally doing it, but more so like you can't say anything that'll throw me off. So I was able to speak to women where I was like, I can talk to you because I don't want to go straight to sex because I understand that you're a person and not just a whole. But at the same time, my goal is, but you don't know that. But I also was like, I know how to speak to you where I'm not going to just start sending you dick pics and asking you, this is a carpet master drapes in a text message. Like, it didn't work for me because I knew that that's not how it worked. Also talking to some of the people in the adult industry on Twitter or whatever, where they're like, you know, everyone thinks that I'm just a big slut bag because I do, my job is sex. And she's like, I don't like doing sex with random people. These people pay me, like, it's a job. It's still a job. And I was like, that's an insightful thing.
I saw the documentary Hot Girls Wanted.
The different documents, those are cam girls, but
So that's different from the kind of people you were interacting with.
Like, I will admit, stars? I do like cam sites because I use them as surveys for some of my jokes.
Really? Like you?
Because you're typing to a girl, so you'd be like, "Hey, I got a joke," and she'd be like, "Oh, she'll read it." She'd be like, "Oh, that's funny." And then you have people in chat going, "Like, that was funny." I'm like, "I'm gonna keep that one," and then I'll go out and try it. And people are like, "That was a funny joke," and I'm like, "Thank you."
That's hilarious.
I used to tell that joke.
That's a bit in and of itself.
See, I don't know why people keep telling me that. And I was like, I tried to tell that joke one time at a place that's no longer an open mic here in Seattle, and it kind of got laughs. And I was like, I'm never using it again. So I just avoid it.
Hey, dude, kind of got laughs is better than no laughs.
I know. It was a weird little location, so I just never used it again. But I still have it written down in this. Well, maybe it's
not. Oh, wait, here's my ADD mind. So how long have you been doing stand-up, Aaron?
A little bit over 3 years now.
Okay.
First year, I was kind of just fucking around. You know, I was getting out maybe once a week and yeah. Shit. I wasn't really taking it seriously. But yeah, it's been a little bit over 3 years now.
Something to do. That's how I got started.
So there was something else I wanted to talk about.
How did you get started, Lee?
I got started in college. I was about 19, 20 years old.
Like how old are you now? Like 27?
I'm 29.
29, okay.
Yeah.
You're a little bit younger than us.
Like school? Like was there, because there was a young kid who does a couple of mics sometimes around Seattle who's in school, and his parents are like, go out and do it. And I've seen him at a couple of locations. And he was like, yeah, his class made him do it.
Yeah, no, I was like, you know.
Bored.
And I was looking for like. No, I guess I started when I was 21 because that was when I was old enough to go to the bars. And I was just kind of looking for like a reason. I was looking for something creative to do.
Mm.
And I didn't know what it would be yet, but I knew that I wanted to be creative. Mm-hmm. And I never had a problem like just saying what was on my mind. Okay. My friend was like, why don't you just go do stand up? And because I didn't even know about stand up. Like when I was in high school, I used to watch Eddie Murphy.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it. Like I didn't really know much about comedy. Mm-hmm.
You didn't realize it was
a
job.
It's funny when you're kind of younger, like, yeah, you don't realize that's an actual, like, career that you can potentially pursue. I mean,
yeah, I didn't think of it that way. Like, I was 19, I was 21, and I was like, I'm going to be a lawyer one day. And that was, like, my life, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't even take it that seriously. Like, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to do at that age.
Yep.
Being a lawyer was just an easy thing to say.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be like, I always wanted to do something like, I wanted to do like performance.
Yeah.
Somehow. Somewhere.
You had no music abilities?
No, none.
Yeah, me neither.
I've been playing guitar since I was 15 and I just got good.
Okay. Honest answer. Yeah.
So I did stand up for 2 years in college and, you know, it went badly most of the time.
Yep.
But after like 2 years, I was okay, and I did this open mic in New Orleans, and this guy who I think like he moved to New York and he's like trying to make it, he came up to me and he was like, he was drunk and he was like doing this thing. He was like, yo, Lath, I really think that you can make it one day. Like I can totally see you on the casino and cruise circuit. That's what he said. And that was like his way of, that was like his compliment.
You can make it, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but like on the casino and cruise ship circuit. And I was like, I don't know if I want that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they pay pretty good though.
They got buffets, man. You get to go to like weird locations. And good.
Nah.
Food.
It's not the worst existence. It fucked with me. I was just like, I don't think that that's what I want to do. And then I quit doing stand up.
Oh, really? No shit.
Yeah.
Time off.
Yeah. I didn't do stand up again like after that. Like it really, it was like the wrong.
That was thing. The wrong.
It was the wrong thing to say to me really? At that time. Yeah. That's, it really. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, was it because
I didn't quit immediately, but it was like very shortly after that I quit. Yeah.
Was it because of who the person was that said it, or was it more or less what he said?
I don't know. I still think about it. It was just one of these things that like I go over and over it in my head, like, what the fuck did he mean?
Really? Cause...
And years later, I still think about it.
Yeah.
But then I moved to, so I quit doing stand-up, and I just did other stuff. And I always knew I wanted to be creative. Like, I always wanted to do a creative.
Yeah. So how much time did you end up taking off?
2 years.
Jeez.
3 years. 5 years.
Wow.
5 years. Yeah. Wow. No kidding.
And then when I moved back to, I moved to Seattle, and I started going to open mics just to make friends.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I remember that I used to do that, yeah. And that was like an interest I had, you know. So I was just like, I'll go just do comedy. just to talk to people, just to meet friends. Like, not, I won't even take it seriously.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then I started doing it again, and it was like, I really love doing this. And then it, I think this time it stuck. And I don't think anybody can, like, dissuade me. But, yeah, it was like, I took some time off just because of that one dude's remark.
That would have talked me up, man. That's my goal, is to get good at comedy to the point where I need to retire from it. And then I'm doing the casino and the cruise ship scenes because I'm an old comedian. They're like, you know, they won't take you in L.A. and New York anymore, but we'll take you on this cruise ship with all these old people that can afford it.
Yeah. I don't know. For me, I was young.
Yeah.
And I never thought about money. And that just seemed, because, I mean, that's why you do those kinds of gigs. Money.
Yeah.
And that just seemed like the worst possible thing. And at the time, I honestly thought he was like taking us, you know, taking the piss.
Taking a jab.
It's so funny how people's words can affect you like that.
Words
like,
mean things.
It really did. And he's a sweet guy. I know him. Like, I was an extra on Treme.
And he probably said it.
And he was there. And
he probably
I saw
meant
him.
It in a very nice
yeah,
way.
Yeah, no, he was a sweet
he probably
guy.
Meant it in a very nice way. You
but
know?
It was very much this thing. It was very. It was. I very much took it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You were on Treme.
I mean, I've had people.
I was on Treme. Yeah, I was an extra in Treme.
That's awesome.
I'm somebody personally. Me, as far as comedy goes, I will take any criticism you have of my comedy.
He gave me a compliment.
And
that fucked my world up. I would much rather receive a criticism.
You're clearly a very fragile person. That's clear. But no, I'll take anything you got from me as long as you're going to package it in a constructive manner.
Exactly.
Oh, you want constructive?
I mean, I've had people who are good friends of mine on the comedy scene, and they've come up to me and they're like, hey man, so you're gonna go up to, so are you gonna like, are you gonna like bring it, you know, because the last couple of weeks you were like kind of, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's like Jesus Christ, like this is somebody I care about. I'm like, man, that kind of that shit can fuck with you, you know, just a little something like that. But what it comes down to is how you take it as a person. You know, you can take that person who was like, hey man, you fucking sucked, you know, and you'd be like, and you can either say to yourself, oh my god, they're right, I'm so terrible at this, I should kill myself. Or you can be like, you know what? Fuck that person, okay? They don't think I'm funny. I'll fucking show them. I'm going to fucking write jokes. I'm going to write jokes for 3 hours tonight. I'm going to go to Mike every fucking night this week. And I'm going to show that person they're a piece of shit. And I'm funny as fuck, you know? So it's all about...
It's motivation.
What you got going on in your own head.
It should be.
Criticism is motivation. Criticism is the best thing you can receive.
It should be.
Compliments are great, but really criticism is what makes you better.
It's more effective, and it's going to
get
you...
It's just like, it's fuel, man. Mm-hmm. It makes... It's, first of all, it's advice, mm-hmm. so you can always use it.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's just motivation to get better. Mm-hmm. Like what you... Like, you know, what you were saying. Like, it's something real, and it can actually really make you... You know, it's that thing, it's that little extra something you need.
I mean, it
know?
Worked for Star Wars.
A compliment can make you complacent, but criticism,
it
it'll
really
always
can.
Motivate you, always push you
a
little bit.
Yeah, it really
you know?
Can. And, you know, I brought up Hong Kong earlier, and, you know, they had whatever words for me. But I talked to him afterwards, and he also said, he's like, you know, you need more punchlines, man. You need more punchlines. You know, there wasn't a lot of punchlines there. And I honestly, I agree with him. You know, I mean, it was not... I did 5 or 6 shows last week, and that was probably the worst of them all, to be honest. My head wasn't really completely in it before I came. It's at a very small venue, too, where basically the majority of people there are comedians, you know? And so I kind of fucking tanked myself before I even had my set in my head. But, you know, he said more punchlines, and I was like, yeah, he's probably right about that. You know, he's probably right. I probably need a little boom, hammer it down, like set up, and here's the laugh, you guys. There it is, right there. Fucking take that shit and, you know, do what you want with it. So, yeah, it is more motivating, and a lot of times, yeah, if people are just sitting there kissing your ass, oh my god, it was so amazing. So, I mean, it feels good. It feels good, and it can be like, yeah, man,
calm down,
just
yeah,
Justin Bieber,
not,
and
it,
you want
yeah,
to keep
but
it going.
It's one of those things where you it's like if there's not something in your brain telling you that you don't deserve this, or that, you know, there's ulterior motives, or just all a number of things, like you really have to take all that shit with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but criticism, you can trust that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like we were saying, like, you know, it would be good to get criticized as Justin Bieber, but at a certain point, everyone just gives him compliments and no one says, you're fucking up. And then when I started doing it, he stopped pissing in buckets after concerts. That was totally a thing.
Yeah, I think Justin Bieber's growing up a little bit.
I feel like people are criticizing him, and that's when he was kind of like, oh, maybe I need to get my shit together a little bit.
Because how old is Bieber now? 31, 32?
No, he's not.
Fuck no. He's probably, I bet he's like 20.
He's
got to
be mid.
23.
He's probably like 23 right now. Yeah.
See, I feel bad for him because he's so young, but he's already done it all.
Yeah. I'm blaming Usher.
It is kind of like, yeah, where do you go? Where do you go at that point?
Ever get over his kid that died? I feel like
that's why he got Bieber.
Was that?
Oh, Bieber's a replacement kid?
he saw the video of Bieber on YouTube, and he's like, I gotta go get this Canadian kid.
Was that the kid from Confessions
Part 2? No, he got run over by a jet ski. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad, man.
That's a shitty way to go, yeah. It makes me wonder, was it Jose Fernandez, the pitcher from Florida?
Oh, the Marlin?
Yeah. He fucking died in a boating accident. And he was on. And they didn't give the details of it at all, but I'm just thinking. Did they break it all down?
He was partying with cocaine on a boat, and he fell off the boat and drowned.
Well, no, everybody on the boat died. It wasn't just him. Holy it was like shit. There was like one or two people on the boat.
Yeah, he was partying on a boat with cocaine, and he drowned. I don't care about the other people. They were nobodies. He was partying on a boat. He did cocaine, and he drowned. Wow. That's what happened.
I feel like he'd be a really good swimmer on coke. He'd be like, fucking, just going nuts with it.
There might have been alcohol involved. He might have been, didn't know which side. It was also nighttime. So, I mean, underwater in the ocean at night, you don't know which side's up. So, he just, I mean, you know, I saw that Tannehill pass today, and I was like, that was a good slider. Maybe he should go pitch. It was actually a really bad pass. But, you know, just football.
Man, the last time I watched football, Tannehill was QB at Texas A&M.
You stopped watching football? Is it because of the protests?
No, I just lost interest. I used to be a huge college football fan.
Well, you went to LSU, yeah. So you kind of had to be.
You know what's funny? I never went to a game.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. The reason I got into football is because I lived down the street from the stadium, and one day I was watching the game on TV, and there was like a 3-second delay, so I could hear everything happen at the stadium, and then I'd see it on TV, and I was like, "This is so dope." So then I got into watching football, and I was a huge fan for years. All through college, and then three or four years afterwards, and this last couple of years, I just lost interest.
So,
I don't watch professional football. I don't watch college football anymore.
Well, the only reason I brought that up is because that's literally there was an article about the fact that conservatives and a lot of older people are less. They don't watch as much, and if they don't watch professional football as much as they used to, they just stopped. And a lot of them are like, oh, the ads are too long. There's too many penalties. There's way too much going on with a lot. And then, of course, that's what the article was saying. And you scroll to the comments, and it's like, no, it's just too many people protesting. I can't watch it. I was putting it. I'm like, all right, well, there goes the honesty right there.
It is, though. It's all fucking ads, dude. Like, I read an article the other day. It was talking about football, and it was talking about, like, the actual length of what's going on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, the clock itself for any game is, you know, there's 15-minute quarters, and there's four of them. So the clock itself is an hour long.
Yep.
The whole process of watching the game is, you know, maybe three and a half, four. Yeah, three and a half, 4 hours. You know how much active time there is where the ball has been snapped and the guys are running around trying to hit each other and doing their thing? You know how much time that actually is in that whole process?
No.
I think they said it was about 12 and a half minutes.
Yeah.
12 and a half minutes for a fucking 4-hour process is actual action on the field.
Well, this is why I watch the MLS sometimes, is because I want 90 minutes of nonstop action, even though no one's going to score.
Nonstop action?
Yeah, they don't. They
guys running this way, guys running that way, guys running this way.
What is the NFL? It's guys running this way, guys running that way, but there's commercials in between. The MLS, soccer, Bundesliga, fucking Premier League, it's 90 minutes of we don't have stops. You don't even stop to put another player in. You have him run off while the other team has the ball, or you have the ball to go the other way.
That's
you don't
crazy.
Stop. Like, just like, that's just soccer. Soccer's like, go. We just can't stop because a lot of people are like, yeah, it's just running back and forth. Like, yeah, for 90 goddamn minutes. How long can you ride on a treadmill?
Yeah. Maybe that's why we need to kind of get more into hockey, I think, maybe.
I'm a hockey person.
How do you feel about the Sounders winning the MLS Cup?
I hate them. They're not my champions.
Are you a soccer fan? Are you
MLS
I'm
a Colorado fan? Rapids fan, MLS, so I don't like that we lost.
When did you get into the Rapids?
I got into the Rapids when they still had a mascot that was the Fox, and their colors were green. Or no, I'm sorry, black and blue. So, 98?
98.
Yeah, 98.
Really? I didn't hear about the MLS until, I don't know.
01?
A couple of years ago.
2001?
No, a couple years ago.
Because the MLS, or I'm sorry, the Colorado Rapids were the second big, we're going to get new teams into the league. And I was like, all right, well, and then they used to play at Mile High Stadium. And then there was a big thing where, like, in Colorado, where they were like, well, we're going to have to give them their own stadium because they were destroying the Broncos stadium, and they were giving them a new one, the Invesco Field thing. And they were like, we need to move them to Commerce City, which is our, not Everett.
Is that a Denver suburb?
Yeah, it's a suburb, but it's like, it's just space. There's nothing there. And they were like, we're just going. So they have like the most soccer field surrounding the stadium, and it's this beautiful stadium. And I was like, I gotta go to Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
You know, it's okay. All right.
So yeah, so I got into them because I was like, well, I'll follow American soccer because I don't like being up in the middle of the night to watch the European stuff because I watch German stuff.
I had a buddy who was into Arsenal. He was a big Arsenal
Bundesliga
fan.
I was in a German league, so
you're into German
soccer?
I
like Bayern Munich, so I was like, I can't stay up that late to watch these games all the time. I'll watch Americans, and I know we're not as good, and then we're slowly trying to get.
No, I've watched a lot of Premier League. I've watched some Bundesliga.
Different.
MLS is garbage.
It's super. It's not
good. MLS is not good.
Yeah. Well, and it's been funny to me. Like, they won the championship, and I think the way they did it was actually pretty impressive because they started off the season being one of the worst teams in the league for the start of the season.
I think they replaced
their coach. Yeah, they fired the coach, got a new coach in, and then just completely pulled a 180 and turned things around completely. But what has been surprising to me is how tempered everybody has been about the fact that they won.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, some people mention it a little bit, but
it's not,
you know,
as big.
No big deal. There's no riots in the street. No cars were flipped over.
The Colorado Rapids won the MLS championship in 2010. When they won, they were like, yeah, let's have a parade. And Denver was like, no. So they went to the largest park in Denver, and that's where they celebrated their MLS championship. So you saying that, I'm like, I kind of want to see what the championship happens with the Sounders, because Portland had a parade, because Portland has basketball.
Yeah.
And they was like, we don't have any other sports, so what else are they going to do? And like, our other team here won, so we're going to celebrate it. So I was like, that makes sense to me, but...
Yeah. So, no, it was just surprising to me. I mean, I mean, that just kind of shows you, I guess, that we haven't completely embraced this.
We're still America.
You know, like no one's even really talking about it. Like, if the Seahawks won, everybody would lose their fucking mind, dude. People would go batshit crazy. If the Mariners won...
There'd
be literal riots.
It'd be Chicago with millions of people.
People wouldn't even know.
The largest gathering of humans.
There'd be some deaths. Top 10. You know?
Well, I did get into an argument with our Twitter account with a lady, mm-hmm. with the Sounders, because I don't know why she was mad.
What's your Twitter account for right now?
Earful@ecity.com.
We'll announce that here. Yeah, we'll use it. But that was pretty good. You've been killing it on the Twitter.
I have to fake it until I can't take it.
Yeah, no, you've been doing good. But we got to wrap this shit up though before we get too long in the tooth here.
So, do you want me to hit that freestyle?
Yeah. My God, I almost forgot here. Let's do that thing. Right. Let me tell the people, just thank you guys for joining us. First off, we appreciate you guys listening. We tried to chill out for, 3 weeks. That was the goal originally on the political stuff, and we kind of got back into it, the conservative. So, if you guys are upset about that, we really don't care,
but I still will kind of apologize.
Send us a tweet if you want. But no, I hope you guys enjoyed listening. We had Lath here. He's been a great guest for us, and he's actually going to close the show out with a little bit of a freestyle here. But before then, we got to sign this off right. So if you guys want to hit us up on Twitter, it's at an earful.
In E-City.
Or earful. Excuse me. Got it. I'm a little drunk here. Took some shots before. It's earful in E-City on Twitter. And if you guys want to email us, you got anything going on in your life, anything you want to mention with us, any stories, whatever you got, we'll take whatever you got. If you wanted to tell us how much of a piece of shit we are and how much of a racist I am, I mean, I've heard it plenty of times before, but again, we're open to criticism. Like Lath said, yeah. It's good for you. So
I can take it.
The email address is emeraldcitypodcast@gmail.com. So if you guys want to hit us up there, but we're talking talent earlier before the show started, And as although he's very mixed about his stand-up talents, he is
I'm really good at freestyle rap.
He's like, very confident about his freestyle rap.
I'm actually good at this.
So he's gonna end a little something something extra here for you guys. So thank you guys for listening. Do we need to lay a beat down for you? You want to go a cappella? What do you want to do?
Do you just want a word?
Yeah, you know what? I'll just go a cappella.
Okay, he's gonna go a cappella here. So he's gonna give us a little something for you guys at the end here. But thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it. And here's a little nice little gift for you guys to end the show on. Lath?
Yo, they call me the mic master because I get it faster than all these MCs in the back hustling faster than the other MCs in the back with nothing to master. That's why I'm on top looking down at the pasture. Every day I look around, I see nothing but undiscovered masters, and I'm one of them. That's why I never look back and never think faster. When I'm spitting through the mic, all I feel is my blood flow. I can feel it burning and I can feel it go low. When I turn like a roundhouse, I watch the world. All right, that's all I got. But you see, maybe you see the talent.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah,
it's there.
Yeah,
it's definitely like, there.
It is.
That was one. That was a bad. That wasn't even good.
But I can confirm for everybody listening.
Better than
that was a freestyle.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
There was nothing going on. There was no prepared material.
That was just better than some of your stand-up.
Exactly.
Again, thank you guys for joining us in Earful in the Emerald City, episode number 58 for Lath, Sehan, Marcus Netters, and myself. We appreciate you guys joining us, and we will listen to you. Listen to you. No, we're not listening. You're listening to us. Jesus Christ. We don't listen
How
to anybody.
How drunk are you?
I am a little drunk. Thank you guys for joining us. Aaron Berg, Marcus Netters, and the freestyler himself, Lath Sehan. And we are out. We will talk to you guys next week.
Salute.